Okay, webweb.com, and it is October the 6th, 2020. I have the honor to have Professor James Spetzer on with me, whistleblower, and I have Professor Paul on with me. And with that said, I want you to get right to the point of what your report is this week, Jim, what you're seeing.
Well, most important, Stu, is that the fellow who showed up to debate Donald Trump was not Joe Biden. It was a body double. Very embarrassing and untrue. I think it might have been noticeable had they shaken hands. But this was a diminutive version of Joe Biden. He to tell the difference, the shape of his skull is somewhat different. He looks slightly older, a bit more wispier. His ears are the real tell. Joe Biden has earlobes, meaning where they connect to his skin, the ears go up. But with this new guy, the ears go down. Now, ears are as distinctive as fingerprints, so we know it's not the same guy. In addition, Biden is a more rounded chin, though when he smiles, sometimes you can see a slight dimple. This guy is a very significant dimple. A couple other tells. Biden has had a skull implant for communication from off of the stage, so he doesn't need to wear wire. But this guy was wearing a wire that was conspicuous around his lapel. Also, though I haven't worn a tie since 1969, those who wear ties tend to tie their ties the same way. Joe Biden uses a double Windsor, the substitute only a single. James Woods, the actor and prominent tweeter, noticed that the new guy had brown eyes where Biden has blue. And when you take a close-up, you can see their eyes are really significantly different. This is taking a page out of the Hillary Clinton playbook because Hillary has used six or eight different body doubles on various occasions, including when she was debating Bernie Sanders and Donald Trump. It's a shocking story. If you want to watch the evidence, see the evidence for yourselves, check out my fake news issues of identity, I believe both on 153news.net and on BitChute, fake news issues of identity.
Okay. You have anything to add to that, Paul?
I'm in total agreement. In fact, Donald Trump even said, the woman whom I debated on numerous occasions with the Hillary debates, and when I saw, well, I thought his eyes were black, and so I give James Wood credit for seeing her brown eyes. I did not recognize that guy. And Jim, Stu and I talk a lot about clones. I don't even know what we're looking at anymore. I used to believe the body double phenomenon, that's how they did it. Now I'm starting to believe more and more that we're looking at clones. And then, of course, that always goes deeper with me. If they're using clones, this is all one big psyop. And it just seems to get more ridiculous or pathetic or startling. I mean, right now, I guess sometimes I'm concerned. Sometimes I want to laugh. I mean, they brought a guy that wasn't even Joe Biden to the debate.
Yeah, I think if they'd shaken hands, it would have been more conspicuous. But we knew several things going in. We had reports that Biden already had the questions. We knew about this ear thing, which is why his team declined ear inspections, which the Trump campaign had proposed. But also they request for breaks every 30 minutes. Now, this was only going to be 90 minutes. But the deal is we have from a former staffer that because of the anti-dementia medication that Biden is taking, he has incontinence, and they've even had staff meetings to decide what type of adult diaper he should be wearing that would be least visible through his trousers and not crinkle when he urinates, so that I think he couldn't go 30 minutes without changing his diaper. So they use the double. I believe Biden, therefore, has a future post-politics making commercials for Depends.
Yeah, well, I want to add something here that the possibility exists both of you gentlemen, that these clones, this clone, could be real. Because since they brought the German scientists over here after World War II that were filled up the Nazis, scientists that were all entangled within the aliens, which are the fallen angels, in my opinion. But Otis Johnson used to mention about the alien agreement, the aliens and the aliens and the aliens. Now, there's 200,000 of them registered with the government, and there's 10 million clones. And as he said, Stu, you had exposed it to me that they were cloning down there in Hope, Arkansas. I came across an Arkansas Democrat Gazette reporter, that had investigated at one time. He was doing a lot of stories for Al Martin and I, the Iran-Contra whistleblower, and stirring up stuff. Now, here was the point that he had discovered the underground base at Hope, Arkansas, building on top. And then there's a secret elevator that goes down several floors, and that's where they're cloning. Now, it only supposedly takes about 6 to 9 months to get their clone in human form. Whatever, if it's a kid or it's an adult or whatever, they can basically do it. And they're using alien technology to do it with. Now, Oli said they have registered with the NSA, National Security Agency, 10 million of them. But he says, Stu, I suspect they cloned 20 to 30 million, and they're not telling us. And they're going to use it as armies against the people. So there you go. Clones are real, folks. It's been going on since 1948. Been cloning, making humans. The Aspen Institute is a perfect example of a bunch of clones. Catty cornered across to the northeast corner, there's a laboratory over there where they transport children in. They got 12 or 13 clones up there running the show, all doctors.
Stu, just to interject a note of dissent, I mean, I've published extensively on evolution and reproduction and what you do, you could replicate the DNA, but that just gives you the basic equivalent of the infant, not all the properties that are acquired during your lifetime of experience. This is well shown in the film Boys from Brazil, where there was an attempt to clone Adolf Hitler, and they had children who had to go through the same crucial experiences of a lifetime to develop Hitler's personality and character. So that I take exception. Now, you're alluding to alien technology of which I have no knowledge, so if you are correct about that, then there's an alternative explanation. But to the best of my knowledge, absent alien technology, what you reproduce would be the same DNA, it would take 9 months of gestation, and then all the years it would take to get up to, so which is why they're having to use people who look a lot like Joe Biden. They aren't really clones, but they are facsimiles that look a great deal like them, and Hillary used six or eight of them, and they weren't always that good, but the one they put up on the stage to debate Trump and Bernie were the best they had. They were still younger, healthier, much more attractive and articulate, and they gave them voice boxes that they can do. So the voice was indeed that of Hillary Clinton, but because of this technology for morphing voices, but they can't, to the best of my knowledge, reproduce a clone that would have the same features unless you gave it a whole lifetime, as many years as the person you want to clone, which in Joe Biden's case is 74 years.
Well, they are cloning in Hope, Arkansas, and they are cloning humans, but they don't have a conscience and they don't have a soul, Jim. It's been going on for a number of years. But whether they can make an identical Hillary or not, I don't know. But they are cloning human beings in Hope, Arkansas.
Go ahead, Paul.
So Dr. Cliff Turner took on this issue, and what she concluded was that clones are copies, and that would support Jim's narrative that you really need the experiences for a clone. A clone is a copy. Now, George Green would agree with you, Stu. And so what we have is really, we don't know how far along they are with the GRINS technology. Jim, do you have a position on the GRINS technology? How far do you think ahead they are than what we know?
On which technology?
The GRINS technologies, genetics, robotics, artificial intelligence, information of things, nanotechnology, and synthetic biology.
I can't claim to be current, but I've also done a lot of research on artificial intelligence and computers and all that, and I can explain in detail. I have books and many articles about it that AI, at least digital technology, cannot be converted into thinking things. What they're doing is the opposite. They're taking human beings and trying to chip them so they'll be under control. In other words, turn human beings into computer-controllable entities, which seems to be perfectly feasible, and I take it is going on today.
So the chip, you split the hairs pretty good there. This Joe Biden had to have the earpiece. The real Joe Biden already had, he would, the real Joe Biden could do it wirelessly.
Yes.
So if we were to, I know conjecture and surmising is difficult. What are they trying to do? I read the headline today about supposedly the Joint Chief of Staffs now have gone into quarantine and into their bunkers. And you've got all of these psyops going on at once. Jim, do you have a position? What, where are they trying to steer us? What is their end game?
Well, I mean, you know, the deep state. I mean, the Rothschilds and the others are trying to bring in the new world order with a digital currency so they can control everything we do, a social merit system, a la communist China, and they're trying to depopulate, and the longer they can keep us wearing masks, the greater their success in doing so. Masks are deleterious to human beings and other living things. It's shameful that they're putting children in masks. They put a strain on your cardiovascular system. They deplete the oxygen going to your red blood cells. It's killing brain cells. So I'm projecting on the average a 5-point IQ loss across America as we make our way through this thing. But a whole lot of people are going to die that didn't need to die. They're inflating the statistics by no longer separating out flu and other respiratory diseases from COVID-9 and just merging them together to give one monster number. But there's more and more proof that this is all grossly inflated, and everything we've been told about the coronavirus is virtually all completely false. They're using the CPR test, which will pick up any fragment of the past, an RNA residue, if you'd had a cold in the past or whatever, and give you a positive result, which means that 90% of those test results are false positives for people who are not sick, but they're being used as a political club to constrain our rights. Which leads to the very important additional story I wanted to toss in today, namely the Michigan Supreme Court on Friday ruled that the lockdown measures and others that the Michigan governor had implemented were unconstitutional, and the brilliant attorney who brought the case has said you can throw away your mask and, you know, ignore all of the COVID emergency orders. This is, really despicable by the governor, Gretchen Whitmer of Michigan. She's whining and complaining about it, but I have no doubt this decision is going to stand. The problem with all these orders is there are unconstitutional constraints on our life, liberty, and property that have no basis in the law. They were mandates given by governors, Democrat governors, frankly, when the public realizes, put two and two together, the dominoes are beginning to fall now with this ruling. I think the people are going to be so enraged. I think the Democrats might lose every seat across the nation. There's going to be a massive landslide for Trump. Of that, I have no doubt whatsoever.
Hear, hear. Jim, how in control do you think that Donald Trump is? I sometimes go back and forth. I think at times he's just like Jimmy Carter, where they walk in and say, "You're not running things. If you want to stay alive, you'll do X, Y, and Z. So just be yourself, be contentious, and we'll let you live, but you're going to do things our way. And then sometimes I think Trump's real. Where are you at, Jim, in terms of
Trump? Trump is real but flawed. He's made any number of foreign policy decisions that were Zionist-inspired, with which I disagree 100%, including Soleimani firing rockets into Syria, declaring Jerusalem the capital of Israel, Golan Heights to be a part of Israel, unfunding the Palestinian UN group that deal with Palestinians, even signing an executive order to expand the definition of anti-Semitism to include criticism of the government of Israel, which is completely outrageous. If the Democrats wanted to have a real impeachment, that would have been a great issue to take up, but the problem is our Congress, like the Golan Heights, is Israeli-occupied territory, and the Democrats are every bit as much under the thumb of the Zionists as are the Republicans, sad to say. Trump is a renegade. He's violating all their expectations, which is why the deep state and others are so violently opposing him. It's not going to work. Latest poll numbers show him ahead nationwide, ahead in the battleground states and in the electoral college, with growing support, 40% already from Latinos. It's going to increase. A conservative 18% for blacks, but we already had Rasmussen back in December. 40% of black likely voters were supporting Trump. I think it's going to be in that order, and it's going to be a massacre for the Democrats.
Go ahead, Paul. Well, Jim, the narrative that I think is being presented is a contested election, and somehow Trump's going to win conclusively, but the deep state narrative is it's going to be very obvious that Trump wins, and then they're going to contest it and drag this thing out, which is going to lead us into civil war. My argument is we're already in civil war. What do you think, Jim?
Well, that's their plan, is to flood, a whole lot of fake ballots and drag it out in the hope there won't be 270. In fact, the Constitution requires that nobody has the 270 electoral votes, that it has to go to the Congress. And Pelosi's been counting on that and talking about it. The problem is that the Constitution specifies that each state only gets one vote. And while there are many more Democrats in Congress than there are Republicans, when each state only gets one vote, the Republicans are in control by 26 to 24, and it just doesn't appear to be any way. Actually, they have fewer than 24, but if you assume Michigan, which is split 7-7 in terms of its representatives, where this Amash guy goes with the Democrats, still the Republicans prevail, and Nancy doesn't get to pick her new drapes for the White House.
I would ask the question. Could it be that the White House was the target of the COVID virus itself, and that maybe it was Kellyanne Conway that showed up at the party on that Tuesday that contaminated everybody?
Well, it's getting into a little bit of micromanagement, but I'll tell you right now, there are...
Bill Barr had a very interesting conversation standing out there openly for a few minutes, and I don't like the cat gator. He's an Iran-Contra boy. Go ahead.
Who are you talking about, Stu?
Bill Barr, the Attorney General, is a cover-up meister.
Well, there are more COVID cases, I think, in the White House now than in Taiwan and several other Southeast Asian nations, which have populations of, many, many millions. So it's all pretty bizarre. I do think that the Democrats, and you never hear about any Democrats coming down with COVID, are trying to sabotage the confirmation of Amy Coney Barrett, but they're not going to succeed. They'll confirm her by distance, just using a Zoom conference. She's going to be confirmed, and well, she should be, because important issues are going to rise from this election that are going to go to the Supreme Court, and it needs to be 9 members and not 4, which could be stalemated, 4-4. You guys are great. I got to do my show today, alas, or I would stay longer, but I want to thanks for having me on, Stu, and welcome you and Paul to continue your conversation.
Hey, it's so great to have you. Always appreciate your insights and always learn things from you. So thanks for joining us, and we'll hopefully connect soon.
Thank you, Paul, for those gracious comments. Yeah, I always enjoy these, our conversations as well. Thanks a lot, you guys.
Yeah, Jim, give out your website and your radio show you do.
Well, this is a raw deal. It's Monday and Tuesday from 3 to 5 Central on Revolution Radio Studio B. That's the show I'm about to do. I have a blog at jamesfetzer.org and a new website at jimtheconspiracyguy.com where you'll find a whole host. There are over 40 shows there that you can check out. There's going to be something there that will fascinate you. I especially recommend how the DNCCV conspiracy and Antifa and Black Lives Matter fit into the Democratic agenda. I think that's the most illuminating about the situation we're in today.
My website, I posted up some heavy-duty stuff lately of the cyber terrorist attacks, but I have all these lists of the DNC in the past year pounding me, in particular the Hildebeest links. Hildebeest, Hillary Clinton, I call her Hildebeest. I found those links. But I put up some evidence if anybody wants to look at it, and you can see how they shoot you about 200 times in 10 minutes to try to hook up into your website and so forth. But this is Doug, folks, and the Israeli and Assad combined. I got the proof and evidence, and I'm hoping the U.S. attorney will do his job so I don't have to do a quo warranto on him and remove him. That might be good, though, because then I get before the grand jury. Anyway, Jim, I want to thank you. Remember, jimfetzer.org is where you get all the links to the other stuff. Correct, Jim?
We may have lost Jim, Stu.
Okay, I think you left. Okay,
yeah,
and jimfetzer.org. Now, Paul, go ahead.
Yeah. Stu, I just pick your brain. I've got about 15 minutes, and I'd like to pick your brain. Jim says some interesting things, and what I really appreciate is that you guys have different knowledge, different understanding, and I think our audience appreciates it too, and specifically on the cloning issue and how fast they can clone somebody and what sort of control you can have over a clone. And I just want to split a hair here and suggest that...
Let's look at Jim. Very smart guy, captain in the Marine Corps. I was a corporal. Here's the difference. He was an officer. He became a professor, taught at the university up there. He's quite educated. I'm not. Here's the point. Jim does his research. I give him credit for that. I've done it also. But remember, where I got tons and tons and tons of information, folks, was from being locked up as a political prisoner for 10 and a half months. Like Scott Bennett locked up for 38 and a half months as a whistleblower, political prisoner. Now, charges dismissed with prejudice against me. Yet they still showed on the NCIC as a felony, as convicted. I wasn't convicted of shit. Prejudice dismissed. The judge screamed at the prosecutors for wasting $750,000 of taxpayers' money and suggested I seek counsel for remedy of what they did to me. Now, here's the point. I was locked up with 2,000 Iran contract players and then 500 federal agents, many of them trying to bust some of the same people in Springfield, Missouri, Siberia, USA, where I was sent for an evaluation, which the government shrink said there was nothing the matter with me and I shouldn't have been sent there because there was no evidence of wrongdoing. Now, I'm just stating something. I met every spook in the world, from Evergreen Airlines, Smith, the guy who owned it, to every kind of colonel, admiral, people protecting Marine Corps, captain protecting Central America. Where did they have their protection? Right in the middle of a dump. A dump. Marine Corps was sitting there with a dump extraction team. I mean, I was locked up some heavy-duty people, money laundering, like you met Al Martin, Stephen Dinerstein, the famous DOD, Department of Defense. Iran-Contra investigator that forced Al Martin to come public because they were trying to kill him. He did. Got his book published, The Conspirators. These are five kind of people I met. Jim never met those type of people. He comes from a different angle, and he's sharp as attack in the way, or sharp as attack the way he comes at it, Paul. But go ahead.
Well, I'm in total agreement, and Scott Bennett and Jim Fetzer are two people that I'm always grateful when you include me when they're on, and I think they're great people with superb insight. I grew up in a university environment, so, you know, like at 8 years old, 9 years old, 12 years old, 14-year-olds, I'm around PhDs, and what was kind of cool about my childhood is that a lot of nights I got to sit around at 14 years old with a bunch of PhDs. So I understand academia. I am not, you know, I'm a guy that gets the PhD. But you bring a different angle, and that's why I think it's so cool for me and for the listener, is you've got real intelligence, operational, validated. And in the academic environment, it's publish or perish, peer-reviewed, and it's very different from your experience. But I want to pick your brain quickly because I only have 15 minutes right now, which is a bummer for me. But really, do you think Donald Trump has COVID? Do you think the people really have COVID, or what do you think's going on with this whole?
I think it was a psyop by the Democratic Party to embarrass him and put him in a COVID situation where he tested positive. Now, they could have hit the White House easily enough with Kellyanne Conway being the one that they could have contaminated her intentionally. She walks in there talking to everybody face to face. She had been kicked out. Remember, her husband, the day they were beginning impeachment trials against Donald Trump, her husband sat on CNN as a co-anchor saying that he believed he should be impeached. And here his wife works as his counselor in the White House. He made a mistake. It was good to bring her into the campaign in the beginning after Kellyanne McEnany, the current press secretary, does a fabulous job, in my opinion. She promoted Trump. Now, she's the one brought him in after Ted Cruz got smashed. And she's so great because she was a CIA attorney. She's a campaign student. She runs around getting people elected. Here's the point. For the government, for the shadow government, I think she or someone from the outside targeted the White House. And it could have been real simple to do with humans. Okay? That's my opinion. I'm not pointing the finger at Kellyanne Conway, but somebody like her who's on the outside, sitting in the audience, talking to everybody, and I noticed how the media focused in on Bill Barr talking to her in the garden there after he did a speech while they're all out there talking. I thought, interesting. She was the one that helped Trump be convinced Bill Barr is the guy. Bill Barr is a shithead. He's a shithead. He was the attorney general when they locked me up as a political prisoner.
He's a Mueller.
He said, don't worry about Mueller. If he doesn't do his job, he'll find himself in a prison cell for not indicting Hillary Clinton. Otis ends up dead 2 months later. 2 weeks later, General Flynn, his good buddy, ends up getting arrested. Had to resign his position at NSA, or National Security, whatever his position was at the time underneath Donald Trump. There you go. I'll leave it at that. That's my opinion. It's part of their New World Order agenda to embarrass the president, to try to contaminate the White House. I believe Donald Trump meant well. He was just a different faction of a New World Order, but not a Satanist pig. Now, he has a wife that's a Christian. He claims to be a Christian, but he then claims not to be. Don't know what he is, but I leave it to you, Paul. Go ahead. I won't speak anymore.
Actually, I'm the guy that wants to pick your brain, because I think you're a guy that's seen disinformation up close and personal, and you've seen psyops go every direction. So my question for you now is, you've suggested that there are factions of the deep state, and that all factions may not be in agreement. And are you suggesting that Donald Trump still may have leverage, that with his Israel position, and I think Jim outlined that pretty well. Now,
right,
I would go a step deeper than what Jim said. I think Zionism is a project of the New World Order and not exclusively a Israeli project. In other words, I am making an argument the Jesuits infiltrated China, infiltrated Russia, infiltrated England, infiltrated America, as far back as George Washington, for sure. And then they had a brief hiatus, and Jefferson and Adams really wrote about three or four important letters. They die on the same day, Independence Day, 1826, I think, or close enough. And their biggest concern was the Jesuits. And I'm a guy that actually, I put in the art. And Jim and I, we share a friend in common. His name is Johnny Cerucci. And we've got to have Johnny on the show, because Johnny's done a lot of research back to 1534, 1540. And once you read those papal bulls, once you understand what the Jesuits are saying, what they're bragging about, we have a deep state beneath, I think we can put Heidi on. Well, I guess Heidi.
The Vatican, by the way, Paul, has something huge going on this month. And then in January, something about a new worldwide currency. The host from the big parties at Vatican. Now, it's talking about what you're playing into. Now, I want people to understand the difference between Paul and the difference between Jim Fetzer. Paul's a believer in Jesus Christ, God Almighty. Jim isn't. He claims he's not sure whether he believes in God. Now, his good friend, Dr. Preston James, is a Christian. Good friend, been working on him for a long time. All you do is pray for Jim and have a wider awakening. It may be coming with the vaccination issue, but that's the reason sometimes he doesn't get in this fallen angel alien stuff, okay? He doesn't connect the dots there. Go ahead.
Well, that's really well said. And I really...
I love Jim. He's a great guy, but he's just not saved yet. Go ahead.
Hey, you do so well. I mean, hey, I well said. I don't know that I can say anything more than that. Stu, I want to hone in on this deal. Is Trump trying to stay alive, or does he still have a little bit of leverage because he's pro-Israeli? He is dividing Israel. He's got Jared Kushner. And now, by the way, I think Benjamin Netanyahu is a piece of human excrement, and I believe everything they have recorded on him, all the intelligence, and I believe he is totally an agent of the Jesuits, and he's running for his life, too. I think there's a lot of parallels between
them. Jared Kushner has massive influence from his daughter, his baby girl, his favorite one, okay? Kushner's wife. Now, that's Trump's baby girl. He listens to everything she says. She gives him good advice, except when it comes to Israel. I believe Jared Kushner is a Mossad agent. He picked up the oil that no one was stealing from the Yukos oil platform out on the Russian coast after 2001 was put in arrest of the Yukos oil guy. No one was shipping it, and Bush and him were splitting it, selling to Israel for 50 cents on the dollar. Because Milman had the third largest shipping company, boat-wise, in the world. And I didn't know it until about 2 months before Otis's death. He told me about it. I started checking into it. I said, son of a bitch. Because Joel had picked up the fact they were stealing the oil off the Syrian coast. pipeline. Now, Jared Kushner, shortly after Yugo's oil president got arrested by President Putin, and the whole theft of the free oil stopped to Israel, and Milman getting his 50 cents on the dollar, which is now dead, now it's Larry Mizell, the demon junkin, the alien, fallen angel, inhabits, that all the money shifted to his power, $100 trillion when he died, except for a $50 billion state, which his brother-in-law, Alan Karsh, drug attorney, stole $25 billion of it. Here's the point. Jared Kushner picks up the oil contract between Russian Putin, who took back Yukos oil, state-owned government oil. He started brokering a deal for beating Netanyahu. He made it happen, and he made $2.5 billion in the successful years after 2001, until about the White House time. Go ahead, Paul.
I appreciate your attention to detail and connecting some dots, but I want to return to his...
There's no job for America, for Israel, period. There's a plan at the White House the president needs to shake.
And I'm in agreement, and that brings me to geopolitics for just a minute. And your intelligence on Azerbaijan and Armenia, and what you've got is NATO versus NATO. You've got Turkey and Greece opposing each other. Now, Azerbaijan is in a very interesting spot. It's right next to Iran, and it's also right there next to Russia and Turkey. And what's happening is Israel appears to be funding Azerbaijan, and Russia appears to have a treaty, really a defense treaty, with Armenia. And I'm getting some Ezekiel 38 out of it. Where can you take us, Stu, on that one?
Well, Ezekiel 38 and 39 is stuck in my crawl ever since I was about 18 to 20 years of age. Some reason, I asked God, Jesus, show me in the Bible and pray about it what you want me to read. Put my finger on it, and then move my finger, and then say, here, move a little further. Now open up the page. Read both front and back of that page. Then start a couple pages back and read it. Ezekiel stuck in my crawl. That's Turkey and Russia coming against Israel. In the final day, it hasn't happened yet. That's my opinion.
How close are we, and I'm trying to connect some things here, and what I did earlier today is I looked at a headline, and it said that the Joint Chiefs of Staff were now going into quarantine because the Coast Guard guy had tested positive for COVID, and I am always skeptical and cautious of any narrative that is promoted by the mainstream media. And what I believe
all
right
they
now,
do is lie. All they do is lie.
Yes.
That's all they do. This is Donald Donald recently from CBS News. I became a journalist because I wanted to meet people and get the truth out. He's lying. I got a big C word for her, ladies. If I call you a C word, you're a bad, bad girl. Go ahead, Paul.
Oh, and by the way, the C word, we are not doing these radio programs to please people. We're doing these radio programs to tell the truth. And there's no political correctness that you and I have to follow. That's nonsense. And you're right. The C word is an insult. But then white privilege is insulting to me. So get over it, people. I mean, come on. See, here's my whole problem.
White supremacy and militias lately. They're scared to death of a militia over that situation of seven states being surrounded, their capitals saying, we're not going to put up with this. The American people are armed, locked, and loaded. And then breaking down that rich in Michigan or Wisconsin, the governor, the female Nazi up there, breaking down the doors of the Capitol, 150 men entered, blocked, and loaded to arrest her. Couldn't find her. The security guard stuck their hands up. That's a show of force. And I like that with the American people. Go ahead.
Well,
they need that to put down the bridge, which is all the people, Paul. Everybody who supports and defends the Constitution says you're a militia member. Go ahead.
Well said. I want to close now, and it appears that we might have an opportunity with others to do a show tomorrow to update things. But what has stricken me or strikes me as important is weather warfare. And what I have seen in the last 3 days is they are spraying me up like insects, like frickin' rodents.
Yesterday, we got the same thing in Kansas City. Now, you're up in Minnesota.
I am, and remember, I did 10 years in Denver. So, I've documented weather warfare. I danced around from Kansas City to the Twin Cities to Denver, and, over the last 20 years. I got
school district, which is one of the best school districts in the area, Kansas City.
Indeed. I in some ways have lived a charmed life, but it's kind of tough to keep up this charmed life narrative when they're spraying us like rodents and insects. And that's why I'm a little bit careful when I promote either side, either the Republican side or the Democratic side. And I think that in my life, I'm a far better thinker and decision maker if I remain skeptical about Donald Trump. And I want you to close it out here with your insights. But as long as there's weather warfare and this global warming narrative, this idea that anthropogenic climate change is creating all of these events, is just pure nonsense. And I'm tired of anyone that is willing to embrace this nonsense. It's weather warfare that's happening in Washington, Oregon, and California, and it's weather warfare that's happening with in the Midwest, and it's weather warfare that's happening in the Gulf and with the hurricanes. And so I'm a little bit cautious, or maybe I should say I'm a lot cautious, and maybe I sound a little bit contentious, but I'm really struggling with, if Donald Trump is for real, why doesn't he just call it square? You know what? There's a new world order, and that's one choice. And all the people that are for the new world order, you know what? Pay for your own execution. If that's who you are, get on with Black Lives Matter and Antifa and get on the new world order bandwagon. All Trump has to say is, you know what? The choice is very clear. There's a new world order agenda, and it's been public, and it's been embraced by everybody in the Democratic Party and even some of my fellow Republicans. And yet Trump's not saying that. And I see the skies daily. And I've been documenting these skies for 25 years. I mean, actually, probably more, but I didn't quite know what I was seeing in 1968. But my question to you, Stu, is Donald Trump just trying to stay alive? Or is he really a Zionist? Or who is the guy? And you know, I know we've talked about this before, but I want to hear what you have to say.
Well, there's a lot of people who have written a lot of things about Donald Trump tied to Jeffrey Epstein, such as Webb, Whitney Webb, great writer, UnlimitedHangout.com. She's written about, but remember, Donald Trump is in the entertainment business, folks. That was his business. He was a real estate developer who got his first loan from his father. It was in Queens, I think it was. Big tycoon millionaire. Got into the loan for $1 million to do his first deal. And that was in Manhattan. And it was a Trump Tower, which it was. After that, he was a success story. I've listened to him on his Trump.org. The bio on him. What he did. he reminds me of myself as a hustler. Mine was housing and small contracts. He got $1 million loan. I got a $40,000 loan. Big difference. Now, he got the entertainment business because of his restaurants, then golf courses, high dollar rollers. He was successful, made money at it. Got the entertainment business. He likes self-promotion. Now, I believe his intent was well. It was tied to General Flynn and others that I'm aware of that made him make that decision to go in for the race. And he beat the bitch. Killed the beast. A real bitch. Point is, oh, he didn't beat me. I won the election. She's still claiming out here. Insane. We're dealing against the most evil of evil. And he is not filled with the fallen angel. He is not possessed by a demon, in my opinion. Now, they tried to take his life, tried to murder him. He actually got poisoned once. His taste tester got poisoned. He got poisoned. Both rushed to hospital, stomach pumped. Now coronavirus, which I believe was an intentional attack by someone like a Kellyanne Conway or somebody else that was brought into the White House. So maybe the Secret Service can investigate and do their friggin' job. Put me in charge of the Attorney General's office, everybody be in prison. Bill Barr hasn't done that. Kellyanne Conway influenced the president to pick Bill Barr. Iran Contra cover-up meister. One of the attorneys to my ex-father-in-law that owned Silverado, Neil Bush director, Iran Contra money laundering, now run by Larry Mizell, etc. It was on the board of directors. So was Brownstein, Norman Brownstein, Larry Mizell, the two APEC directors. Brownstein, Mizell both graduated together law school in 72 and Millman hired them. One goes into building apartments, MDC Holdings, Inc. It owns Silverado Savings. The other went into law, which became one of the six CIA counsel with George Bush in 75 when he was CIA director, that they started World Financial Inc., which is the beginning of the mortgage fraud that led to the bank bailout in 2008. Bill Barr was an assistant to Norman Brownstein. He was the one that recommended the invasion of Panama illegally against Noriega, who wouldn't give up another 20% of his drug proceeds to Daddy Bush and the New World Order. So they invaded Panama. Two hotels were seized, folks. Hilton hotels. One was owned by Daddy Bush. The other one owned by Leonard Millman. Go to Trump.org. After Millman dies, Millman's brother-in-law, Alan Karsh, drug dealer, hauls cocaine from Mexico every Wednesday in the airport east of Denver International Airport that they built at the same time to haul the drugs. Goes to Pelican Pete's, goes to all the strip joints in Denver, Colorado. He operates feds out of 650 South Cherry. His name is Alan Karsh. Here's the point. I was making a point on this.
You have really connected.
Bill Barr is the key, and Alan Karsh was laundering his drug money, bringing in the coke. He shut the other half of the operation down, feds, if you listen to what I'm telling you. Goes to Pelican Pete's and goes to all the strip joints, owned by who? Larry Mizell, Brownstein, Millman, my ex-father-in-law, Bobby Rifkin in Denver. All the hot spots in Denver. They sell cocaine over the counter. So Alan Karsh's cocaine from Mexico, that Daddy Bush gets part of the operation. And every time they land, it's after 6 o'clock, so they call up the customs agent who gets a $200 bonus used to probably $300 or $400 now.
You've given addresses and details that are very vivid to me. I've never been in any of the places, but
the Attorney General isn't doing his job. He needs to be fired and replaced. The COVID operation against Trump was to embarrass him. And I believe Kellyanne Conway, I never have liked that woman. I respected her because she's a professional CIA operative.
Yeah.
And I respect, but I don't respect what she has become. She's the C word again. I'm truthful.
Yeah. All right. Here's where we're at, Stu. I have commitments, but there are people that we do shows with, and I know that they're interested possibly in tomorrow or the next day. And I think what we ought to do on our next program for the listeners, because I think that's what they would like us to do, is we should talk about disinformation and shills. And, of course, that takes us deeper into agenda. Thank you, Stu.
Tomorrow, next day, let's do it. The StuWeb.com, Professor Saul, Professor James Fetcher on earlier, and we're 15 minutes, Paul.
Cool.
Thank you for being with me.
Always a pleasure, Stu. Take care. Okay.